You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you in all the 24 time zone on this beautiful blue and green planet Earth. Welcome to The Real Short Box Audio. And let me introduce to you my two co-hosts and co-conspirators. First, we have a young man from the great state of Ohio. He is Bruce Campbell's number two fan. He is Donald.
I'll find that number one fan and I will fucking end him.
Will you now?
Yes.
You really want to be number one that bad, huh?
I will be.
So you're willing to cut a
throat? There can only be a number one, right?
So you're really,
one number one.
So like Highlanders, you're willing to cut the throat of a man Bruce Campbell's number one fan.
Yep.
All right. We have Donald here, apparently a sociopath. I was not aware of that.
Got a knife.
And our other co-host and co-conspirator, a man who is a righteous man, a man who is celebrating.
A pious man
who's celebrating these 40 days of Lent, who's given up many things. He is simply the ravishing Raphael. How are you doing today,
showtime,
sir?
Let's go.
Showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Showtime.
It's showtime. Time. Now, tonight or today.
Hey, by the way, I didn't give up anything. I gave up giving up.
So what's your priest going to say when you go away?
I gave up giving up.
Wow, that's not good enough, man.
I'm going to push through on everything.
You should try giving up on FOMO.
No, I can't do it.
No.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now. For Lent, I gave up giving up.
Wow. You got your ashes last Wednesday, right?
I did. And I told the man, I said, I'm going to give up on giving up.
I thought this old guy at McDonald's had like fallen down and hit his head.
Yeah.
No. But it was like a shit ton of ashes. There was like chunks on his forehead.
Yeah, sometimes I notice the priest, they put a little too much on the head.
A little out of hand.
A little too much.
I think what happens is he looks at how much you need it.
What?
You walk in, he goes, that guy needs the Lord. And then he just,
put a huge cross on their on their forehead? Wow. Yeah. And then like,
I know your mother. Ta-da! You know?
And so there's like a good, pious, holy woman. He just puts like a tiny one on there.
Oh, he goes, oh, she's great. She doesn't need it. Let me just splash it on you. Yeah. Donna walks in. He throws a goddamn bucket.
All of a sudden, he's real dark at that point.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't get in trouble with that.
Yes. But be careful. Very careful.
No blackface here, sir.
No, not at all.
This is the comic coalition, sir.
Yes, that's right.
We come from all sizes and colors.
The Bennington colors of comics. There you go.
We're the goddamn pack of Skittles.
Mm-hmm. A pack of Skittles. That's right.
But the
rainbow can be tasted here.
Different colors. I don't know.
True. The whole rainbow's not on there.
M&M's probably is more legit. Right?
I think
it's like a dark brown.
Yeah. M&M's. Yeah. You can taste the rainbow.
Is there one M&M color they took out of the bag at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah, the light brown.
They did.
That was horrible.
Like a tannish color. Yeah. I remember that.
Why did they get rid of it? That's the Mexican one. They got rid of it.
That's evil.
Hey, they don't have
evil.
Any white M&Ms, so there
they
you
did,
go.
But it's the mint
oh,
ones.
Oh, that's right. I'm delicious.
That's messed up. Well, here at The Real Short Box, you can always taste the rainbow.
Yep.
Now, what's important is we're going to discuss, as Raphael briefly mentioned, FOMO. FOMO in comics. FOMO in the hobby.
Well, we're going to talk about like elements that involve, you know, people's fear of missing out. But we're also going to be talking about the hobby itself, collectors, what one person sees as incorrect or evil isn't necessarily that. It's all perspective, really.
And choice. You have to make the choice.
What I want to say here is we are not here. We're not promoting FOMO. We're not against FOMO.
We're neutral.
Is lately on Instagram and YouTube and all the platforms, we've heard a lot of people who have are total against FOMO, people who are bashing people who go out and look for the variants and are chasing the almighty big book per se of the week.
M&M.
Yeah. And honestly, to tell you the truth, you know, I've always been taught in any of collecting, whether it was sports cards, whether it was action figures, whether it's Funko, whether it's my comics, was your hobby has to be able to pay for itself. It's got to be a living organism. Got to be able to pay on its own, right? So sometimes you have to chase the books that are going to make you money so that you could put them towards books that you really want in your collection. And is that FOMO? I guess you could say it's FOMO, your fear of missing that book that's going to make you the big dime. But it's also part of the hobby. It's you know, they the first the NECA turtle gets released at Target, and you rush to Target before it opens to get that one figure, and it's not there. It's FOMO. You're fear of missing out that figure, but it's also a fact that you need it in your collection, so you're chasing it. And it's sometimes I've gotten books that I've chased for weeks and months, and I finally get the book, and then I sell it a week later because it wasn't the fact that I needed to have that book. It was just the thrill of the chase to finally have it in my hands, you know. But and I'll let my other guys come here and tell you what they feel. But you know, we have a lot of collecting years at this table at the moment, and they can all tell you that FOMO's been around since they were kids,
and even before
that. Oh yeah, I mean, Death of Superman.
That's right.
You know, like
they're over 31 years
and
ago.
I was just a kid, you know, pretty young, and I didn't know what, you know, what FOMO meant or anything. I just knew that everybody wanted that book.
He wanted it.
And I also wanted it, though, because I was at the time interested in Superman. I wasn't saying that I was like a heavy hitting crazy fan or anything, but I liked Superman. I'd seen the movie, and I, you know, there were movies, and I enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, well, he's dying. This seems like a big thing.
Finality.
Gotta have it.
Yeah. So I was like, I need to own this. I need, for me, it's a lot of times it's about owning a piece of history, about owning something, you know, like Seduction of the Innocent, the book.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
There was no FOMO for me.
No.
It was just wanting to own that piece of history. The Amazing Spider-Man run, what was it, 97, 98, I think, where they cut out the Comics Code Authority.
Oh,
they
yes.
They just didn't use
That's
it right. because
right.
it was about drugs. Those three issues were important for me. I didn't feel like I, you know, was going to, like it was, oh, you know, everybody wants it, so I need it or something. It was something I wanted as a piece of history. Sometimes that coincides with other people's wants, which for them, it could be a FOMO type aspect. But for me, it's a lot of times about owning pieces of history, things that you just don't see every, so, you know, every day. You know, variant covers sometimes, I'm like, wow. That is the coolest freaking cover I've ever seen.
You gotta have it.
And I've said this thousands of times, mind you. This is the coolest cover I've ever seen. And for me, it's like, I want to own that because that, to me, that's a piece of, that's like a time capsule. That's a piece of the time. That's showing that character or that showing that artist talent or they're putting him in a scenario where it's relevant to me. You know, like Neil Adams with the Muhammad Ali boxing stuff, you know, boxing Superman and that, you know, that
historic book.
Right. It's a historic book. It's a seminal piece. And a lot of people wanted it. And of course, you know, probably everybody be, oh, that's FOMO or whatever. But it's not, you know, so it just depends. I think it's a mixed bag.
Think about the death of Human Torch, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
The poly bag.
The poly bag with the three.
Lasted 2 months.
And also, I believe some of them had a signature of Stan Lee in some of them, like secretly, if you...
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, but everyone... my God. I should open mine.
Huh? I have two of them. I never opened them.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to open ours.
I wasn't... I was...
You probably lucky. You probably got
yeah.
one.
True.
At the time, I wasn't collecting books at that time. I was in the sports cards. And when that book hit, even I heard of it. Mm-hmm. And even I went down to Golden Apple and bought... five or six of those books just because I knew it could be something.
Yeah.
And they ended up in a box and then they're worthless, but they're in the box. And I basically can tell you right now, if you're a collector of comic books, of toys, of anything, be the first person to post on this podcast and tell me there's not one book in your collection, one toy in your collection, one card in your collection that isn't FOMO. And I guarantee you there's probably not one person that can do that unless they've already sold it. But I guarantee you everyone has one FOMO book that they bought that they can't get rid of now because the prices went super low. And it just happens.
Like Batman Fortnite. I remember that was a thing a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I actually did dump mine just in time.
Ooh, yeah, you got lucky. I ended up just breaking even, I think, when I did.
Because once we learned that it was just they're going to repeat the code or something like that, I thought it was like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
One-time thing. I'm like, oh. Okay.
That would have been great.
And if you would have access to that one character only through this book, I thought they were doing that.
Yeah, me too.
But no, they actually were stupid. They should have actually done something like that, make it harder.
You can go on the website and get it.
Yeah, that's even more dumb.
They put it in the trade.
That's even more dumb.
It was just, it
really make it something hard to get.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's where FOMO really
kicked in.
No, I'm saying if they made it that hard,
out. I mean, bombed out.
If they made it that hard, then FOMO would be big.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is stop bashing people for having a little FOMO. I'm not saying people, you know, resellers and dealers and stores should prey on the people with just FOMO, but FOMO.
Unfortunately, they do.
They do, but I'm saying, but FOMO brings people in. They probably don't even buy it. They probably look for the book, don't have it, they buy something else.
That was a point that I've seen many collectors talk about. They say, oh, what brings in a lot of people? And then there'll be arguments for other people where they say, oh, well, it brings in other people, but when they get burnt, mm-hmm. then they don't want to go back again. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, too. That's part of the process. You know, you're going to shed some weight, so to speak, when dealing with that and investing and stuff. Any type of investment. It's like investing in stock.
Yep, true.
You know, it's 100%.
I mean,
like, where is that? You know, when you're talking about stocks, you have to look, to me, you have to look at comic books like stocks. You have to know when to sell on the high and buy in the low. And you have to follow the trends. Yep. And that's just the way it is. For those that want to make money and those that want to supply themselves with a continuous source of income so they can continue with the collection, because we're not all rich people. We're not all making mint, you know, fortunes.
Mm-hmm. Except Raphael here.
So we have to buy books when they're cool and we think that they're going to be hot.
Yep.
And just hang on to them until they're hot. And if they're not, then we either sell them off for a loss or, you know, no gain, or we just sit on them for a while
and see what happens.
Well, yeah. you've been taking a lap around the block several times lately because you're on Kang very early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was huge. I saw when the Russo brothers posted the purple glove and they said, this is coming. I told you. I think I sent you the picture. I said, Kang's coming. Mm-hmm. I said, I know it. That's Kang.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were like, ah, whatever, you know, and then people forgot about that post. But I didn't forget about that post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I invested in every Kang book I could find that was Avengers and Fantastic Four and mm-hmm. things like that, all the early books. And I think mm-hmm. Sean was the same way. Mm-hmm. But he just liked that character to begin with.
But he keeps him. See, the thing is, and that's the thing is you know, if you're going to be a YouTuber, you're going to be, you know, Instagram post stuff, and just don't get upset. I mean, when you know, you want to talk about, you know, what people, how the world should collect their books and their comics, then you're going to get people that are going to comment back and they're not going to be always so nice. And you have to accept that if you're going to put your comments out there, that you have to take both, you know, comments that are you know, good for you and that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with comic book shops. When we post a book that we're selling and say, hey, this is hot, Tom Key Collector, you know, Kang, you know, whatever, we understand that we're promoting a book because the store has to make money.
That's right.
If you say, well, the store shouldn't do that, well, the store can't live on just new books.
Yeah, they have to turn a profit.
Right.
The book costs $4. The store gets it for maybe, you know, two something. They're making $1.50 a book.
To pay the employees.
It's pretty much everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that they're not making a ton of money off those books. And then the back issue books, you know, you're buying collections and then you're selling the books and you're making a little profit here and there. But the 1-in-25s, the 1-in-10s,
variants,
the variants, the spec books that tell you this character might be coming, those are the books that the comic shop can make a little extra money on to basically buy collections so that you can get books. So when you downplay, when you're talking trash about how comic book shops do these or a dealer, the pump and dump. The book hits a big high, you know, Spawn 1 hits high because McFarlane's doing a signing. So then the comic book shop takes all their Spawn 1s and puts them out and sells them. And you're like, it's a pump and dump. It probably is. They're trying to get rid of their inventory.
Right.
But at the same time, that allows them to bring in money into the store so they can either do some updates, they can buy some new collections. And also,
maintenance.
You don't have to buy it. You can see a book that you want go up too high and you can just sit. You have the ability to do both. Patience. Buy the book at a high price and pay the price when it goes down, or sit and wait. But don't trash other people for doing what you think is wrong. Just don't do it.
I'm also fascinated by Free Comic Book Day FOMO. I noticed that. You know, I noticed certain stores now, the last few years, have been limiting how much you can take. Before, you'd be able to grab like you know, one of every 50 books, but now it's like, okay, only five.
Well, yeah. I mean, what a lot of people don't know is that the shops still have to pay for the books.
That's right. That's right.
They get it at a discounted rate, but they're still having to pay for the books.
That's right.
So if you're walking in and you're taking five copies, because this is what this will happen, mm-hmm. you take five copies of every book when mm-hmm. nobody's looking and you walk out the door.
Right.
Or you grab a whole stack because you think it's going to be hot.
That's not right.
That's not cool.
That's not cool.
Because the whole idea of Free Comic Book Day is to bring in new readers, to bring in younger crowds.
Especially the kids.
Yeah. To form and educate the, you know,
the public,
these children
public.
Into, you know, collectors
That's
and,
right.
And readers
That's
and
right.
interest them in these characters. And then they'll go maybe see the movies and stuff. And circling back around when you were talking about, you know, with the market and everything, this type of thing happens everywhere. Like, if you think about it, the number one, worse than comic books, weight loss.
Mm.
Weight loss is the biggest... I don't want to say fear of missing out, but it's the biggest trend that
right.
people follow.
There's always a new diet. The Atkins
always
diet.
Always a new diet.
Or whatever yes. the diet is, the sober
yes.
diet,
and,
whatever it is.
And I can never point at somebody and say, you're stupid for doing that.
No.
And unless I know the science behind it.
Right.
You know? But I will say, if you go in and there's people in the store and they're buying books that they don't want, and they're buying them in bulk just so they can flip them. Mm-hmm. And you wanted one because you're a hardcore collector, because it's something you wanted, because you're a reader and stuff. That sucks.
That's douchebaggery, yeah. They,
right.
they grab that, all 10 copies, 10 remaining copies of whatever.
I feel, and I strongly feel this way, if you do want to flip, if you're somebody that's a prospector, so to speak, buy
three.
If you're not buying for yourself, yeah, make them a maximum that you buy. Make it your own set of justice, of laws within you internally. Do like you said, three books, three copies of each of these books that you have, and that's it that you get. And then don't get any more than that. Don't be too greedy. Make
right.
enough to make a profit and to use that to formulate and speculate on the next book coming, the hot next book for yourself.
An example of that was the acetate controversy around Ultimate Fallout 4 last year,
God,
where
yes.
people just wiped
Thank
out everything.
You for bringing that
and
up.
People, I heard the story from you and some other
yeah,
colleagues of ours,
the Whatnot crew,
and how people were waiting online for hours and hours and hours,
and
you get a copy
the
of that,
and
then these
a-holes, ahead of them.
Yeah, a-hole influencers has come around, has grabbed everything, and then starts jacking it up.
But the funniest part is that mm-hmm. everyone that was upset was like, "Oh, these fucking influencers are doing this and doing that," and it's 100% true.
Yes,
but a lot of guys in that situation would be like, if they came tomorrow and said, "Hey, Donald, you're one of our buds. Mm-hmm. Show up to our booth, just give us a wave, and I'm going to bring you out 10 books." You're not going to say no.
Of course.
So I understand
right.
it's a shit, it's a douche move to do, but every one of us has an in on something.
Yeah.
Every one of us has a way to get a book at a better deal. You know, we get to see books beforehand.
Of course. That could be a total hypocrite. Obviously, right. if I knew someone, of course, I'd be happy to get a deal, but I think this is the extreme of that. Like, you wipe out
like
all 75 the inventory.
Copies
yeah, you wipe out the majority of inventory, and that's not fair.
Go fuck yourself.
If I get 75 copies of this whatever hot book, which is silly, but whatever, this hot book, and I'm like, ha-ha, and I'm throwing it on eBay, yeah, $1,000 each, then I'm evil. That's a form of evil. It's not
right.
fair.
But here's the thing. Now, it's become a piece of history.
Yes.
So guess what Donald wants?
Yes.
Donald now wants to get a copy of that book
right.
because he wants to have that story.
And
sure,
you
sure
way,
don't want to burn
I guarantee you, at some point, that book will become easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the Eminem book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eminem and Spider-Man. Everyone talked about it being, you know, a high, you know, a FOMO book. But if you're an Eminem fan and you're a Spider-Man fan, it's a perfect book for you.
Yeah.
So you get it. And yes, it was limited and people bought them. And at one point, the 9/8s were going for like $3,000. Now it's kind of cooled down. They're like $800,
mm-hmm.
and they're not. I'm not saying they're more affordable, but they're not as expensive.
Right.
But it's one of those things. Is that not everyone can have a Jordan rookie card? Not everyone can have Avengers 1 or X Men number 1. If you bought it back in the day when it was easy accessible, then okay. But at this point in your lifetime, it takes a little work. You invest. You buy books. You sell books. You get to a point where you can buy this book. All I'm saying is, yes, if you're coming to a store and you're going to buy every copy there so you can flip them, it's kind of a shit move to do. But then the store owner needs to understand, you know, on Wednesday, I'm going to limit one book per person.
Mm-hmm.
And on
right.
Thursday and Friday, then I don't care what you buy.
Right.
Because I've given everyone a chance.
Right.
Get a pull list. If you get a pull list, you're guaranteed to have that book.
That's
yeah.
right.
Right?
Yeah. And but here's one thing too that they'll do though, and that I've noticed, they'll go to the extreme opposite where they'll go, okay, so in order to limit this, I'm going to charge $25 for a book that just came out.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
That's not cool to me.
Yeah, I bring that up. I was about to bring that up.
And I will give credit to the shop, to We Can Be Heroes. When I was down in San Diego, I was at a few shops, and I wanted to get, at the time, I think it was Elektra Becomes Daredevil, and I thought, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a Daredevil fan. I've seen all Netflix stuff. I've read Daredevil throughout the years.
Except for that one episode that upset you, yes.
Right, except for the Irish episode.
Yes.
Yes, so I was like, okay, you know, this is cool. This is like a big thing. So I was like, I kind of want to get it and see if it's any good, if the storyline's going to be good or anything. So, but I wanted to get it for cost, you know, I only wanted one copy. So I wasn't being like greedy or anything. So one of the shops down in San Diego that I stopped at, they wanted $30.
Mm-hmm. And it was only
the issue.
It was like a 4-hour book, right?
Right. So I called up We Could Be Heroes. And mm-hmm. I said, hey, I said, is there any chance I could get Daredevil 25? And I think it was the day it was coming out. I said, do you think you can pull me one? And I think I talked to Julio and he was like, yeah,
I'll pull one for you.
$4.
There you go.
That's it. Now that book is a $4 book again. You know you what see? I'm saying? There you was see? Nothing crazy about it. And it was a good story.
And you made the right decision to say, screw you. I'm not paying $30 for
this. The guy that told me $30, I said, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
But let's just say you paid. Here's a devil's advocate. Let's say you paid $30 for that book. And everyone's like, you had FOMO. Bro, even if he had FOMO, and even if he paid the $30, it's a lesson, book he wanted
lesson.
To have.
That's a lesson right? learned.
Lesson or not, it's a book you wanted. I myself say that you have to understand that in every collector, there's a you have a flipper, you have a collector, you know, they're all built in the same person. Every person flips books because they gotta make money. Every person tries to get the best copies ever. Because mm-hmm. if people who say don't have FOMO and you don't give a shit about the book, that you're a reader, then you never walk up and look at a book. You walk up and you pick up the book that's on the table because you don't care if it's got ticks or not, because it doesn't matter to you. Not trying to flip a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I've seen guys sit there and go and be the first one there and go through every book to pull out the most perfect copy of
I'm
that
book.
I'm
glad you bring that up. It's so disturbing.
And, I don't care. If you want, I don't mind waiting behind you if you want to look through another book.
But come on. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're both saying. You're saying, you know, just quickly look and check the corners and stuff. Kevin, and I've seen this, is talking like they'll get out their goddamn magnifying glass and inspect it.
Oh, yeah.
I had a guy one time, he's like, hey, bro. He's like, stop handling all the books. He was like, you're getting your fingerprints all over mm-hmm. them. No other customer wants them after you've dirtied them mm-hmm. with your fingers mm-hmm. and your oily skin. He said, just pick a book out
and be happy
and be done. And he was right to a point. I mean, they're both right to a point. You know, if they just want to look and see for sharp corners and stuff or you know, like, spine ticks or something like that, that's fine. But if you're going to deeply inspect it to where
I'm looking for a 9.9.
holds up the line and B, you're getting your shitty, grubby hands all
on
over
everything.
Every copy.
You'd be pissing everyone
off. Right off.
Yeah, piss everyone
fuck
off.
Right off.
But what I'm saying is that every person has a little something about them, right?
Oh, you're not kidding.
You know,
yeah.
So I tell people all the time, if in fact you're the guy who needs to get the perfect book, then you may need to go to more than one shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the guy who's just a reader, then just grab the books on there. If you're a guy who's chasing what they say is FOMO, then chase the fucking FOMO. Who gives a fuck? What I'm saying is that as a collector, as a seller, as a person who works, you know, at a shop, I understand all aspects of the hobby. The collector, the guy who, you know, flips, the person that's what I call a curator who just wants to continue his run. He's got, you know, the first 800 issues of that series and wants to have it every one. The guy comes in here, he's like 80 years old buying Spider-Man just because it wants to continue the run.
Right.
But just let him be. Whatever they want to do, let them be. Let them be FOMO guys.
Yeah. I mean, we have some people that come into the shop and they'll get 3 or 4 copies of each book. And I'm like, okay, you know, well, and I tell them, I say, hey, you know, they'll be like, oh, can you pull me this many copies of each? And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pull you those copies, but then I'm going to go through all of our pull lists. And I said, if customers need it, as I go through that pull list, I'm going
to
pull from your copies
to be fair
to fulfill their order. And I said, anything that's extra that's left over, I said, you are welcome to. And then I said, well, why are you getting these? And he said, oh, I'm getting it for, you know, for my kids, you know, for their future as an investment, just in case, you know. So they have books and then they can decide what they want. And then they can see what their dad was into and maybe have a like a time capsule of what he was into and what he liked and stuff. And I thought that was kind of cool.
And if they're not into it, they can sell it on his behalf.
I just tell him you can pull – you can if you want four of each cover – I mean of each book – I'll pull you for each book, but just so you know, I'm gonna order an extra four copies of that book specifically for you, and you're gonna pay for those four copies.
Right.
So if you want four copies of Spider-Man and Batman, I'm gonna order four extra besides our normal order. Mm-hmm. So you always have your four. But understand you're gonna have to pay those for those four regardless. So if you come back like, oh, I'm not gonna collect this anymore, no problem. Pay for the four for this week and I'll cancel the rest going forward. But if you're asking for four, you're going to pay for four no matter what.
Yeah, because it's coming out of our...
And that's the worst part. The only thing I have a problem with people when they come to the shop and they have a pull list of 20, 30 books, and then they'll basically look through and go, here are these six. I don't want them anymore. Can you put these back? And then you end up having to... I mean, you can probably resell them, but I'm just saying, if you're going to have a pull list, understand that we're ordering those books based on your pull. So if our pull list is 50 people getting Spider-Man, we order 50 copies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you decide you go 3 weeks or 4 weeks without picking up your books and you go, oh, I don't want these Spider-Mans anymore, well, we order specifically for you, right? And then the week's already passed, so everyone's already either gotten their copy somewhere else or isn't going to buy it. So that book's just going to go into the back issue bin and we're going to lose money.
And
you're going
to hope and pray that somebody comes in the next couple weeks and wants it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's thousands of books that happens that way. But I think we have a clear understanding, and I think we've been pretty – fair overall with the pros and cons of people deciding how they want to collect and what they want to collect and the justifications for each individual collector and what they feel. It's all opinion based, and it's all at the end of the day you want to support the hobby because you want the hobby to continue. There was a thought that had crossed DC Comics minds when AT&T owned it, that they were going to go completely digital and they were going to stop printing books.
Oh, that's evil.
And that's when us collectors lost our collective shit because we were not happy with the idea of we're not the NFT crowd. No. You know, we are the in my hand
tangible,
want to tactile read, thumb through it, hold crowd it in our hands crowd.
Smell yes that beautiful hell pages.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So I feel like that way, it's showed how we collect, what we like, how we like it, and I feel like there is no wrong way. In people, again, yeah, they should collect what they enjoy. They should collect what they love, and whether that's because they want to keep it, because they want to sell it and make a profit, because they want to invest in their children's future. However you want to do it, I feel like it's a solid way to be, and I can't judge you according because I've done every single one of those things except for invest for my children because I don't have any. I mean, none that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel like I've done all of those primarily, and I feel like I can't be too judgy on that. And I support the comic book community and everybody involved. So I try to be as positive as possible for everyone, you know, whether it's a YouTuber, an Instagrammer, a person on the street, a comic shop owner, a friend, a colleague, whatever it may be. I feel like we should all collectively understand that other people are different and they do things differently. So we should just stay in our lane.
I'll leave you with my last comment. I'm not going to say no to FOMO. What I'm going to say is FOMO responsibly.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yep. Anything you want to add, Kevin, before we close this out?
You know, I'm neutral. You know, live your life. If you want to FOMO yourself to death, so be it.
You would,
but as brother Raphael said, FOMO responsibly.
Yes. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. And hopefully, if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the anxious, exciting, but always deliberate comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.